If you will, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Bob had read this text last week, and I couldn't get off my heart. So I like to look at these things, and it's good for us to go back to school sometime and get the basics down really good. Well, hopefully I can show this in crayon, if the Lord will let me, and be basic and plain, because that's what we need. As a musician, one time I loved their songs, and you know them by heart, and then I saw them play it live, and it was way faster, and they kind of mixed the verses up, and they was just trying to get it over with. And I said, don't do that. Play it the way I like it. The first I heard it. That's what I want to hear. Maybe the Lord will speak to one of us for the first time today. I'll make some statements, and then Lord willing, show them to you. The 3 points be real easy. Hopefully we can stick with it. The Father purposed salvation. Salvation's important. If we was out in the ocean, to be saved is to live, and to not be saved is to drown and die. And so this thing of life and death, of eternity, as I said earlier, I don't know anybody that's 400 years old, do you? We have an end. We ain't going to make it out of here alive. We're going to die, all of us. And as Solomon said, the wise will lay that to heart. But what about the salvation? People talk a lot about being saved, and there's some things that I think and some things that you think and some things that Grandma thought, but that ain't the one that does the saving. It don't matter what I think. It don't matter what you think. It matters what God says about it. Here's what he says about it. I'm going to tell you up front, and then we'll look at it. The glory of God, of that triune God, that's paramount in everything. God's going to get the glory. He said, I ain't going to share it with nobody else. He's God. That's who he is. And he's going to get the glory in all things, period. That's just to be said. But God the Father, he purposed salvation for his people to be made just like his son. He woke up one morning, old Barnard said, and he looked at his darling son. He goes, I want to make a whole nation just like him. And so he chose a people that were not like his son. We fell in the garden. And we fall every day, every thought that we have. It's only evil continually. And so that's what our old nature is, our old heart is. But God saw those people, and because he wanted to. It pleased him because he loved them first. He decided to put them in Christ and make them whole. So the Father purposed it, and the Son purchased it. He's the one that came. About anybody walking up down the street tell you who Jesus was. Oh, yeah, that was a long time ago, and he died, and then he ain't in a tomb no more. He's risen. That's the proof we have. That's what we're looking at today. And that Holy Spirit, because the Father purposed it, the Son said, I'll be their surety. That's the gospel in 2 words, substitution and satisfaction. He goes, I'll stand in their place. They can't stand. They can't do it. Their blood ain't going to do. Mine will. So I'll be in their place. And then the Father was satisfied. He said, that works. That's it. Well done, my good and faithful servant. To any that's in him, any that's covered in that blood, you come to me. We're allowed now to come to that throne of grace. But how are we going to find out about that? It took place in time past. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. The eternal God. This has always been the covenant that has to come to pass, don't it? How are you and I going to find out about that? God, the Holy Spirit, comes to us. He abounds towards us like a fullback running full speed. And those that he's coming after, he's going to tackle them. And he's going to tell them. He's going to proclaim it. The Father purposed it. That's one. The Son purchased it. And the Holy Spirit proclaims it. That's what I want to look at this morning. That Almighty God of creation, of providence, of salvation, he receives all the praise for this, for his righteousness, for his holiness. That's why we just sang, holy, holy, holy. We read out of the holy scriptures, and his holy angels have charge over us. And it's his holy kingdom, his holy throne. He's holy. And since we're made vessels of honor unto the praise of his glory, as the scriptures say, we have no room to boast. That clay didn't look at the potter and say, I made that handle. You made me a coffee cup, but I made the handle. No, we're just clay. We're earthen, just like Adam. We're red dirt, and we have no room to boast. We boast in him. We have nothing to glory in except Christ our Savior and him crucified, who he is and what he did. With that understanding, now let's see if I can make good on it, as Henry says. Look here in verse 1, Ephesians 1:1. This is the salutation. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. You go up to Paul and you call him Paul. because that's his name. The Lord put him in the office of an apostle. And God made him that way. He didn't choose to be. He's like, well, I can't do nothing else, so I guess I'll preach. No, God made him that way. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. That's who he's talking to. To the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation. How Christ was gracious to us. Grace is unmerited favor. If you did something for somebody to be gracious to you, then that's a wage. That's not grace. Paul says, through Christ, grace to you. And peace. Peace. How can you have peace if there wasn't a warfare? Peace is declared after the war's over, isn't it? And all that's from God our Father. And he's made us saints. He said, to the saints at Ephesus, he's made us faithful in Christ. Now here's the purpose of the Father, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, is he talking about carnal blessings? Did he say he's blessed us with all health and wealth and happiness and good vacations and fancy cars? All spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. What are these spiritual blessings? According to God. Mankind can give you, they write books and books. As John said, they write books without end. There's whole bookstores dedicated to this. How to get a blessing from God. How to bend his arm and make him do what you want. That's what they're saying. What are blessings? Well, I can think of some things, and you can probably think of some things, but what's God say about it? Like I said, it don't matter what I think. My opinion, that's what the word heresy is, opinion. Well, I think it's like this, and Grandma thought it was like that. That don't matter. Salvation's one-on-one. There'll come a time, mommy and daddy and brother and sister and mother and father, all that, they ain't going to be around. You're going to be standing in front of a holy God. We've offended him. I want to know what he has to say about it. He's the boss, isn't he? What's his first blessing? According to God, it's election. He chose a people. Look here in verse 4. According, he's given us all these spiritual blessings. Here's the means of which he does it. According as he hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What did the Father do? He chose a people. What were those people? Were they special? No, that's the one that was in Christ. When did he do it? Before the foundation of the world. What about us? Well, how does that affect us? We're going to be holy and we're going to be without blame before the Father that we offended in love. There'll be, as Romans says, there therefore now no condemnation. That's all I was condemnation. All I was an unprofitable servant. All I was evil. That's the whole of me. And because the Father purposed this, he said, I've chose you, I've put you in Christ, and when that final day comes, you're going to stand in front of me, and I'm going to say, well done. Wonderful. Come, son, like that prodigal son coming home. Fall on his neck, kiss him, put on the best robe, kill the fatted calf, put a ring on his hand. And that son was there like, I was just looking for some crumbs. I was going to be a servant. That's what the Father blessed us with. He chose a people. And that's because we weren't worth choosing. He said, I didn't choose physical Israel to picture spiritual Israel. Those that are spiritually his children. He said, I didn't choose you because you're the greatest, because you're the biggest. I chose you because you're the least. You're the least. If I was really good at something, at building things and sculpting, I wouldn't take the best knife I could get and the best piece of wood to show what a great artist I was. I'd take the worst piece of wood and the dullest knife. Give me some old junky tools. What's what I can do? And the Lord took these old junky people that's nothing, and he said, I'm going to make them just like my son, because that gives him all the glory. That magnifies his name. We didn't help him in that. He blessed us in electing a people, and he blessed us in predestinating a people. That means to be made like Christ. Look here in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. We was chosen in Christ, we're predestined by Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Election has to do with who is saved. We all deserve death. Born of Adam, left to ourselves, we come forth from the womb speaking lies. Then babies come out. Some of the precious babies don't lie. They don't need chains. They don't need a bottle. And they lie to trick you. They cry so you'll pick them up and carry them around. God said that. I don't think he's lying. We come from the womb speaking lies. If two zebras have a baby, what's going to come out? A zebra. of two sinners. Adam and Eve were sinners, right? Is that who we all came from? Narrow that down again to Noah and his plan. All the offspring sinners. We grew up with it, so we don't think it's that bad, but it's so. But God said he's going to elect people. That's who's going to be saved. And predestination has to do with what being saved is. Where I grew up, boy, people fight you tooth and toe. I don't believe in that predestination. Well, what's it mean? The destination is not heaven and hell. The destination is a person. That theme is going to be throughout. It's a person. And he said, I'm going to make you just like Christ. That's your destination. It's to be made like a person. It's elections who, predestinations how, or what? To be made like Christ, to be made holy and without blame, because that's what he is. Pilate knew that. He said, this man's innocent. He ain't done nothing wrong, didn't he? Choosing the people, making them like Christ is according to, why would he do that? To his good pleasure and will of God the Father, because he wanted to. He wanted to. I don't think that's fair. Who are you to answer against God? We're down here on earth. He's in the heavens. He ain't like us. He don't think like us. He don't do things the way we do them. He's all wise. He's all powerful. And he's holy. He don't do what's right. What he does is right because of who he is. And if he didn't, he ain't God. He would choose the people, make them just like Christ because he wanted to. Not by our will. Man doesn't will that. Our will is tied to our nature. You understand that? If we're going to do something, it's because that's what our instincts, that's probably a better word in our day, it's what our instincts are. And the Lord said, here's something about man's will. Natural man, just out one in the world, what we call good people, bad people, whatever. He said, you will not come to me that you might have life. He said, you won't do it. Left to ourselves, we won't do it. We don't want nothing to do with God. So we won't have this man reign over us. I want to do what I want. He said, no man can come to me, there in John 6. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him. The Father that purposed it, he said, I'm going to make it come to pass. We read that in Isaiah. The Lord gives us all these things he's going to do. And he said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. He's the one that's going to do it. The Lord told his disciples. Those are pretty, them apostles. If John or James or Paul was to just show up today, you reckon we'd listen to them? That's one of the 12, buddy. You reckon we'd pay attention to them? God looked at those 12, the inner circle. And he said, you've not chosen me, I've chosen you. That's John 15:16. And I've ordained you. You didn't choose to be an apostle. I chose you. I made you an apostle. I ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. And whatever you go out and preach, and the people that's saved by your preaching, and that fruit's going to remain and ain't going nowhere. I'll keep it. When God chose us in Christ, he put us in him before the world was made. And he gave us all spiritual blessings in him because we had no blessings of our own. None. And that's why we can say with Paul, we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Because who he foreknew, those he loved before, those he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. He said, that's the ones I want because I want to. I'm going to make them just like my son. And I'm going to put them in him. And they're going to be perfect. God elected to be those people to be conformed to Christ's image. And that's what we read in Acts 13. He said, but be it known to you, brethren, men and brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, through Christ being preached. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. From all things. Well, I did some bad stuff. Not as bad as I did. You know what? If I told you what the absolute worst sin I've ever committed is right now, let me tell you what it is. It'd shock you. You'd be shocked. I didn't believe God. I had unbelief. Today. This morning. Is it you? Do we rise above those things? Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Don't we? By him, by Christ, by the Father electing the people and making them just like Christ, we're justified from all things because of his life he lived for us. That's the substitutionary work from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. You've got to live in the Ten Commandments. That ain't in the law of Moses. We don't. Paul said, do you hear the law? You ever ate a medium well steak? You'll go to hell forever. Thomas, we was up in field ops and Marines in the Navy. Did you ever dig a cat hole? That's a Levitical law. Two soldiers have to take one shovel. If not, you'll go to hell forever. You keep the whole rest of the law or to agree with it. They said, in all these things, now you got to agree to them. You got to say, that's right, that's good. I ain't done that. But being in Christ, we're justified from all things. from all things. His blood covers a multitude of sins. It says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. Acts 13:48. That's good news if somebody can't save themselves. That's good news. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. We were the least, weren't we? Why did the Father choose people? An unworthy people. Those that was, as the scripture said, Christ died us while we were still in our sins, while we were still at war with him. He said, pray for those that despitefully use you. Why? Because he did. He did, didn't he? He prayed for us while we used him. Look here in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. All this is to the praise of God's grace, unmerited favor. That's what we read in Ephesians 2, isn't it? Turn over just a little bit. There's one page of Ephesians 2, verse 4. Paul said, we ain't no different than anybody else. All sin and come short of the glory of God. Everybody. There's none righteous. And then he says, no, not one. Nobody's righteous. Well, now, no, no, not one. There in verse 4, but God, Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. If he ever shows us what he's done for us, what sinners we are, that Christ is all of our righteousness, that judgment's been settled. I don't have to face it. This whole lot, the whole shoot match is summed up. It's done. He did it. Then we're going to learn a little bit more the next time. And then we're going to, you know what? He was really merciful to us. Now, I knew that last week. I see it a little bit more this week. Throughout time, throughout the ages, he's going to teach us more and more. How's all this going to be accomplished? It's going to be through Christ Jesus, here at the end of verse 7. That's the work of the Son. The Father purposed this salvation for a people that was undeserving, and the Son purchased it. Look here at chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. In whom we have redemption. That's to be redeemed. That's to be purchased, bought. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We're saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, through his substitutionary work, and that's to the magnitude. How much does that cover? Well, it's according to the riches of his grace. How rich is God? Is he going to run out? He's just talking about snow one time to Job. He said, do you know how many warehouses I have full of sleet and snow for whenever if I feel like turning a battle? I don't want them boys fighting today. He said, do you know how much snow I've got in a warehouse? That'd shut us up, wouldn't it? How much sin can that blood cover? However much he sees fit. It's in proportion to his riches and grace. He ain't going to run out, is he? Paul told us that in Galatians 3. He said, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And he says, you've got to agree with him. That's the law. He said, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, that's evident. You go read that law. You want to be under the law? Read it. Ain't nobody can keep it. And the ones we thought the highest of, the scribes and the Pharisees, the Lord said, your righteousness has to exceed theirs. That means not just the outside on the inside and forever. From conception, from cradle to grave, from conception to death, it has to exceed it. He said that no man should be justified in the sight of God by the law. That's evident. But the just shall live by faith. The faith of Christ, isn't it? There in Romans 3, we read this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. He said, to declare, I say again, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The Son had to pay that. That's the only way God could remain holy and be merciful. Look, that's the first hour. The only way that God can he can't just sweep sin under the rug. He won't be holy no more. And if we have a sovereign, almighty God that's wicked, we're in a mess of trouble. He's holy and good and wise and right. And so the only way he could be just and maintain his law and be just be just is to be himself the justifier. He had to take all everything that his people were, that we were put in Christ, and take all that sin that we had in the punishment and just lay it on his son. He had to bear that. Bear the burdens. Well, we don't know enough about bearing burdens. He bore the sin and the shame and the guilt of his people. And God Almighty turned his back on God Almighty, and this whole world went dark for 3 hours. And the veil was rent from top to bottom, not bottom to top. Read that recently, so people missed that. Man might have struck some horses at the bottom and pulled it apart. God ripped it. He did it. Salvation's his work, isn't it? He poured out his wrath on his son for us. You see that there in this text? You can go through and highlight them if you want. I have. You see salvation? That's not a method. It's not a formula. It's not an algorithm. It's not a quid pro quo, this for that. It's a person. Salvation's a person. It says we're blessed. God the Father blessed us in Christ. He chose us in Christ. He predestinated us by Christ. He accepted us in the beloved, in Christ. Salvation is not an idea or a principle or a theological standpoint. It's a person. It's a person. Our husbandman, our redeemer, it's a person. And he's God. He's the triune God, all three of them manifest in one body. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's him, isn't it? And that person that salvation is a vital union with him, with Christ the God-man, an intimate union, one-on-one. Not you for somebody else, not ears to hear through somebody else's ears, not eyes to see through somebody else's eyes. Me and him, one-on-one. He comes to his people and he speaks to the heart. He says, live. Live. I can talk for 3,500 words. I can stand up here for 2.5 hours and tell you everything I know. And if God ain't pleased to bless it, it won't be blessed. I might as well tell you what happened with the Aztecs in that Final Four game. But if he speaks through this old jawbone of an ass, a broken earthen vessel, and he says, live, there will be life, buddy. He said, let there be light. Right then, the light's come on, didn't it? Verse 8, here's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Father purposed salvation. That's what it is. The Son purchased it. It's his blood. He laid down his life willingly for his friends, for those that were in him. And he lived a perfect life for them. And he come out of that grave. That's what today's about. We celebrate Easter, and most people don't know. Christ is, we have an empty tomb. The Father was satisfied. All that work he came to accomplish, this hour I've come, my hour's not yet come, my hour's not yet come. He said, now's the hour. And he bore that, and he was beaten beyond recognition by his own mother, and the Father forsook him. He said, my God, why did you forsake me? He knew he was forsaken. He knew why. He said out loud so we would know. So we know he was forsaken because I deserve to be forsaken. He bore it in my stead. And then, it wasn't the Lord didn't leave his soul in hell. That's what the psalmist said, did he? He was satisfied. The tomb's empty. How much so? Them Pharisees paid the guards to lie about it. You tell them, his people come got him. He did what he said. He paid it. He paid it all. And we have the Comforter now because he went to the Father. Now here's what the Comforter does. Here's the work of the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, Ephesians 1:8. Wherein he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And he did it just right. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Salvation's of the Lord. We looked at that first hour. It's his righteousness, his faithfulness, his loving kindness, and his salvation. And the Holy Spirit comes to his people through the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the truth, not of a lie, of truth. And he abounds. I just think of the fridge. You see them big old NFL boys just running at you. And they lower their head. That's the Holy Spirit. You ain't going to get away. He abounds toward those people in all wisdom. And he knows what he's doing. And in prudence and truth and righteousness. And he makes us know what God's will is. That's what the scriptures say. The Holy Spirit will come to convict us of sin. That's a singular noun, not plural. That's all I am. I'm nothing. That's my DNA. I have a hereditary disease that's going to end in death, eternal death. That's what I am. Christ is the one that's righteous. He's holy. That life he lived was absolutely perfect, and he didn't deserve it. An innocent man hung there, and he bore my sin and shame. And that judgment's complete. And why the mystery of his will? Why did God do that? He wanted to. He's God. He can do what he wants. We didn't say that before. That's a miracle of God to say that. We said, well, no, we're going to get together and gang up and pray until he does what we want. That ain't a God. That's a mutiny. In Colossians 1, Paul said, whereof I made a minister, a servant, according to the dispensation of God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery that's been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Nobody knows what this is. You do. He made it manifest to you. To whom God would make known what the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit comes and reveals Christ in us. That's his seed, his incorruptible seed, his doing, his salvation. The Father purposed it. Christ purchased it. And the Holy Spirit proclaims it in our hearts and gives us that assurance. And all this is in Christ, isn't it? Let me read this in Colossians and see if it makes you happy or makes you sad. That's what Scott Richards said. When the gospel is proclaimed, people are either going to get mad, glad, or sad. One or the other. Colossians 1:16 says, for by him, by Christ, were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. You know who's president of the United States? Whoever he's pleased to make. Whatever glorifies him. And he's before all things. He has preeminence. And by him, all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. That in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The Father purposed this. The Son purchased it. The Holy Spirit comes and proclaims it. And Christ gets all the glory for it. Lock, stock, and barrel, A-double-L, all. Well, now he wanted to do something and I chose him. No, that's what this world's got backwards. Now, if you will, God will save you. That's not what the leper said. He said, Lord, if you will, you can make me whole. You get that? We're not in the position to be bargaining and negotiating with God. We're in the business of begging. That's what we are. Look here in verse 9. Ephesians 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are both in heaven and which are on earth, in him. He's going to bring all those people that were put in him. They're going to be born throughout time. And throughout time, the spirits will come to him and reveal them to him. And then that last one is going to be born and going to have a preacher come to him and say, this is who God is, this is who you are, and this is what Christ did, and I bow to him. And he's going to give them life, and they're going to bow to him. And then it's over. That body of Christ is gathered together. He's the head. His church is assembled. He's brought them together. He did all the work. In whom we have, verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. We've got that spiritual life. We have holiness right now. If we're in him, right now. We've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. He looked at Christ, his son. He said, that's mine elect, mine anointed, my firstborn. And he's going to get all the glory. I don't want it any other way. If it's something I did, I'm going to mess it up. If I had to keep something, hold something, believe something, do something, not do something, I'm going to mess it up. In him, he'll get all the glory, and he'll keep me, and he'll live for me, and he'll preserve me. That's right. That's good, isn't it? That's an accomplishment. That's what he said on the cross right before he gave up the ghost. He didn't say, it's just about done. Y'all knock out the rest of it. He said, it's finished. Plumb done. Finished. Salvation's accomplished. Now, all that's left is the declaration of it to be proclaimed in the hearts of his people. That's our assurance, isn't it? Look here in verse 13. This is good news. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. You heard Christ. Christ says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. He's the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. After you heard Christ preach for the first time, the gospel of your salvation, the good news of salvation. And I noticed this morning. You know how many times I told Cameron, I've read Ephesians 1, I think 3 times, maybe 4. No, I've read it more than that, man. You ever notice that colon right there? This is precious to me. We heard the word of truth. We heard Christ preach. The gospel, the good news of your salvation. We heard salvations of the Lord preached. In whom? In whom? What's that mean? Well, the truth and the gospel of salvation in a person. in whom also that after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What he says is right. That word right there is right. It's proved to me over and over and over again. God's right. Let God be true and every man a liar. It's so. I believe that. And I'm sealed with the Spirit of promise. We're sealed by it. We've heard. That's what it says first. Heard, isn't it? The Lord said in Matthew 13, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. If you hear that, you're blessed. Because I say unto you, the prophets and the righteous men desire to see those things which you see and they haven't seen them. Those angels try to listen in, don't they? If they had a day off work, they come to hear the preaching of the gospel. They desire to hear these things. Most of physical Israel had heard these things, but it wasn't effectual, was it? Trillions of people, they hear physically throughout time. And they've read physically with the eye, but the power of the Holy Ghost hadn't come on them and made them believe it. Paul said that to the church at Thessalonica. He said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel, that good news of a person, came not to you in word only, like, well, it looks good. I've graduated that class in seminary school. Check block next. No, it didn't come to you just in word. It came in power and in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance. How do I have assurance I know this is real? Because I didn't do it. I can tell you, Tuesday, I'm going to be down here at 10:30, and we're going to pressure wash that sidewalk out there. I might be here Tuesday at 10:30. I might not. I can't say those things. The God who changes not, he said, this I'll perform. He'll do it. He'll do it. If we've heard these things and believed. That's what Romans 10:9 says. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that he was successful, thou shalt be saved. And from the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's what I told y'all before. I can denounce University of Kentucky basketball and shack up with Duke all I want. I can get the Duke Blue Devils all over my car. I can wear the shirts, get season tickets, and say everything good about them. On the inside, I don't like them. Moose does. That's okay. Moose Parks does. I like UK. I can't help what I believe. I can't help what I love. He's done that. He's made me hear. He's made me believe. And we're sealed. Romans 8 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. But you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You're not putting chains. You got to do and this and you're going to work. And no, we're not afraid of that. You've received the spirit of adoption. That's family. We cry, Abba, Father. We have a father. We were orphans before. That law orphaned us. We couldn't do nothing about it. And then Christ came. The Father purposed it. He purchased us. The Spirit came, told us about it. And we say, Father, you've done this. We hear, we believe, and we're sealed. That's what John wrote in 1 John 3. He said, and he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And whereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he's given to us. We doeth righteousness, what Bob read. That means believe Christ, love you, brethren. We spent 8 months looking at those in 1 John. And if I believe Christ and I love the brethren, he's done it. The Spirit's done that. Hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us because he's given us his Spirit. And we've seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whether it's Jew, Greek, barbarian, Scythian, it don't matter. If somebody's going to be saved, the Father sent the Son and that's their Savior. There's no other name that can bring salvation under heaven. And that's the earnest of our inheritance. We hear Christ, we believe Christ, he sealed us. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That's the down payment. That's what we get right now. That's going to get us by. Until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. He's the down payment. Well, my faith's just real strong. My Christ is real strong. My faith is he's faithful. That's got strength. If it's something just I think or I believe, I could be wishy-washy tomorrow. But it's his faithfulness. And we've given that. He's given us his Spirit until the redemption of the purchased possession. Until that final day. That final day of judgment. It's all going to be tallied up. He's going to bring his people home. And what we're going to do when that happens? Unto the praise of his glory. You did it all. You did it all. I've used this illustration before, and I'm going to use it again. I remember there's a medic got shot one time in Iraq, and they had him on a gurney and was running underneath a bridge, an overpass. And he leaned up and was shooting that pistol down the side. He saved himself. Could he glory? He said, well, I provided y'all suppressive fire. I had a hand in it. I did a little bit to help out, right? Well, he had somewhere to glory. And everybody, they don't remember the two guys that was carrying that gurney. Do you remember who was in that picture? Might look familiar. I don't know. They remember that man that was doing something. In salvation, man don't do nothing. Salvation is of the Lord. It's his salvation, and he does it all. And he gets all the glory. And we'll sing his praises if he saved us, won't we? I hope that's a blessing to you. Let's pray together.